Your team's job is to build something. Your job is to define and communicate what to build.
Hello and welcome back to Tech and Startups, the premier growth network for technology leaders. Let's get started.
So let's go ahead and get started here. Welcome to Tech and Startups. This is Tech and Startups hosted by me. I'm Alex Zielinski. And you know already that the theme of these couple of days, these three days, is marketing, sales, and customer support. We've got a heck of a lineup. Really excited to have so many experts in marketing and sales and customer support. And one of the main themes and the reasons we do this is our audience is primarily the leaders of technology organizations, be they CEOs, CTOs, managing directors, VPs, but within that technology vector. And a lot of times technologists are thought to be stuck in the weeds of the engineering problems. But we all know as people who are leaders or aspiring leaders that the more growth we have, the more leadership we have, the more we find ourselves needing to get out of the technology part. In fact, I would say that my job has become something like 20% technology at times, certainly less than half of my job now as I've grown as a leader is actually being inside of the code, figuring out what API to use, or figuring out what the stack's going to be. For a while, we think that's all we're going to do, but then we find we need these other skill sets around management, skill sets around sales and marketing and branding and customer support, and to be able to just support the overall strategy of our organization. So our first talk today, and Miguel, I'll take over the screen here, is our first talk today is you were CEO and now you're fired. You were CEO and now you're fired. So there's 3-to-1 odds that you're fired. So I'm Alex Zielinski. I've been around 10 years in and around Silicon Valley startups and tech organizations as well as much larger organizations, consultant to a limited group of impact-driven CEOs and orgs. And I know how to help you keep your job if you're a CEO of a growing organization. And so the stats are these, 50% of CEOs are fired or they're no longer in the CEO position by the time startups reach the 3-year mark. Even worse, by the time there's an IPO, more than 75% of founding CEOs no longer lead their company. So what's happening there? So I'm a founding CEO. You're a founding CEO. You started this baby and something happened. So either you're fired or you're pushed out or you quit the organization or you're demoted. You no longer have the title of CEO, but you're still in the organization or you're ready. And so throughout this conversation, I'm going to assume that you are wanting to be ready to maintain the CEO title. So this is a circle, but it's not just a circle. This is your organization. And your organization has these other little components to it. It's got some external facing components. These are your customers and sales, the ideas behind your mission and vision. These are your investors. This is the outward facing half of your organization. And then you've got your internal, more internal things, your developers, your subject matter experts, your other creators. And where are you? Well, there you are. You're the founder CEO in the middle and you're holding everything together. That's what you do as a founding CEO. You stand in the middle of everything. You touch everything. So that's your startup, your organization, the 0-day startup. This is you as a founder. There's that CEO role in the middle. But then you look at a 3+ year startup or organization, and you see that the role of CEO has shifted. It's shifted to around where that mission values is. It's more external facing. It's not in the middle of everything, touching everything anymore. So the role changes, but what happens to you, you the founding CEO? Well, first of all, if the CEO role has jumped out of the middle, what is going to go in the middle instead? So instead, you have these other roles that replace it. You've got a role like COO, Chief Operations Officer. You've got a role like CTO, Chief Technology Officer. So did you know that you were doing two jobs? You're doing at least two jobs sitting there in the middle. But what happens to you, the person? These are the roles. What about the person? Well, you've got some options. What are your desires here? So first option, you don't want to change your skill set and you don't want to change your title. Well, okay, I'll tell you where your role is. It is outside of this organization. There's no role for you any longer in the organization. If you don't want to change your skill set and you don't want to change your title as a founding CEO, you're out. Now, that's not so bad, perhaps. Maybe you'll go on to be a founding CEO of another organization. There are people who make entire careers off of being founding CEOs. But in the 3+ year organization, no, not in this growing organization. There's no role for you. Now, what if you don't want to change your skill set? You want to keep doing the same thing, but you're ready. You're okay with changing your title. Well, no problem. We still have a role for you. It's right here in the middle, just where you were from the beginning. We just changed the title. You're now a COO, someone who helps manage the operations of the organization, maybe thinks more about the people, the organization of the people inside of there and the roles. Or we've got Chief Technology Officer. Maybe you're sticking right in the core of your product and you're building the technology. A couple other possible roles there, but these are the big ones. And finally, you're ready to change your skill set and you are ready to keep your title. And so you could be the less than 1 out of 4 who are ready to maintain that CEO position, that role as a growth CEO. So again, I'm assuming here that that's what you want to do. Nothing wrong with anything happening in the red, the no role, it's fine. Go to another organization and start over. Nothing wrong with the yellow. You get to keep doing what you love, what you've been doing all this time. Nothing wrong with that, but we're focused on maintaining that CEO title in the same organization. So what do you need to do? First, you need to stop doing. You need to stop doing and start defining and communicating. What does that mean? Your team's job is to build something. Your job is to define and communicate what to build. That's now the CEO's job. Your team's job is to solve a technical problem. Your job is to define and communicate what success looks like. If you're prescribing a solution to your team at this point as a growth CEO, you're not doing the job of a CEO. You're doing the job of some other role that is not CEO. So stop doing. What does stop doing look like? So stop doing looks like delegation. So you're assessing all the things you're doing that you shouldn't be, that you need to let go of. You're hiring to replace yourself in those roles, and you're assigning the work. There's a lot more to delegation. We're going to talk about it in a later talk. I think that's tomorrow. Routinize. So this is processes, bringing in processes. For you, what could that be? It could be agile. You might be doing agile for the first time. You might be having testing processes. So not everything is passing through you, the CEO, for approval, but it goes through a testing department. You might have standard operating procedures. What are those things that you do over and over and over again that you could, if well documented, pass on to somebody else? And you can just let go. The stuff isn't for you anymore. The buck no longer stops here. The thing that CEOs get entrenched in is I have to know everything that's going on here. I have to approve everything that passes this way. I have to be a part of every decision. No more. The buck no longer stops with you. You have a team to help you, and you trust your team to make some of these decisions, even if they used to feel crucial. These aren't your decisions anymore. And then what do you start doing? You start defining and communicating. That's your job now. You start defining and communicating the mission. And this is to your team, and this is to the world, to your investors, to community members, to board members, to customers, who we are and where we're going. You start defining and communicating in a sales capacity and marketing. Who are your customers and how are we speaking to them? Clients and investors, the same. And you start defining and communicating the need. So you used to create the product. Now you're defining and communicating the need of what the product needs to be to your team. This is the problem to be solved, not the solution or the method. That's not your job anymore. So you might as all founding CEOs do, have some objections to this idea. Here's some objections that you might have. First one, I want to do real work. And this stuff isn't real work. Real work is getting my hands dirty in the code. Real work is choosing the technology stack. Real work is I hit compile and something happens. That's real work. This other sitting around and meeting stuff, that's not the real work. Okay, that's an objection. Second one, I need to understand every facet of my organization or product. Hey, this is my baby. This is my thing. My name's on the wall here, right? So I need to understand every single thing that goes by. And third one, me, I'm the only one who can do this work the right way. I can't possibly delegate. I can't possibly give it away. No one can do it as good as me. It's impossible. And so these are valid objections. And there's an answer to these objections. Here's the answer. You are fired. The answer is you're fired. You don't get to be the CEO of the growth organization. If you're stuck in these objections, then you're still in the middle of the organization, you're still in the middle of the circle. So this is where you have to reconcile. If you want to hold these objections, then you don't get to be CEO of this organization. That means you leave the organization or you leave the CEO title. So here's a growth CEO's mantra. I learned it with one of my clients recently. I didn't come up with it. He came up with it. Really impressive. I want you to say this mantra while you're driving to work. I want you to say it while you're washing your face. I'll tell you a great place to say it is inside of the business meetings that you are having. You can repeat this mantra. Here's what the mantra looks like. It's, no, I'm not going to do whatever it is that I think I'm obligated to do here. I'm not going to do. No, I'm not going to do, because my role as a growth CEO is to define and communicate my organization's mission, sales, and product needs. That's what a growth CEO does now. That's what you do now. You used to do. No, I'm not going to do. So here's some next steps for you. First, you want to do a gut check. Are you about this life? Are you, it's okay to not want to be this growth CEO, to not want to be this new person. It's a big shift. These two roles are different, the founding CEO to the growth CEO. And you can say, I'm not about this life. I don't want to do this. This isn't who I am. This isn't for me. It's okay to say that. Diagnose. What is it that you need to stop doing? What do you keep getting suckered into? What do you keep getting sucked into? What are the things where you're just so comfortable and you want to get into that problem and solve it? Stop it. Start defining and communicating. And the last step is to talk it out. Book a strategy session with me to define next steps. And so if you do these things, you do your gut check, you diagnose, and you talk it out, the result is you're ready. You are ready to be a growth CEO. And so with that, I invite you, let's talk it out. For these conference participants, for you, if you're watching our conference live, I have for you a free strategy session so we can just get on the phone and chat for a little bit about what your particular need is as someone who's a founding CEO and you're reaching that inflection point of, my goodness, I have a lot of investors. My goodness, I have a lot of clients. My goodness, my team's getting really big here. And what worked before with me doing is not working now, and I'm ready to start defining and communicating. And so that's it. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Alex. So where are you?
So I'm in Vietnam. I'm in Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam. It's beautiful. This conference in the United States is evening, but for me, it's the morning.
Lovely. And what services do you provide? You talked a little bit about it, but maybe you could talk a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. So I work with a select group of CEOs who are needing to lead their organizations, the work of their organizations and the people of their organizations more expertly. A lot of what I do is help put in the processes and also mindsets in place to get organizations ready to pop up to the next level. So again, this is especially with organizations who are hitting an inflection point. They've got suddenly have more investors, more work, more customers, bigger team. And what was working before in terms of organization, in terms of mindset, isn't working at this new level. And we want to prepare for that big shift.
How can people find you?
Well, you can find me through techandstartups.com. That's probably the best way. And we also have our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com. I think it's /C/techandstartups, but we're searchable. And we have a podcast now too, Tech and Startups. And a lot of the content of these conferences comes out through those channels.
Fantastic. I really liked how you segmented the role of the growth CEO and the founding CEO. I think that's it. That can be a challenge for all of us to try and fit where we, to try and find where we fit in between those and to try and move from one to the other. Can you talk a little bit more about the skill sets needed for a growth CEO?
Yeah, so the big differences for a growth CEO are, number one is probably delegation. Founding CEO may not be used to delegating often. And delegation isn't just telling people what to do. There's a big skill set around how to really define what the work is to be done, what success looks like, how to check on it, how to win accountability. So that's a bigger skill than it at first sounds like, because delegating sounds like I tell you what to do, you do it. It's not really what it is. Another is exactly what we're doing here. So marketing, sales, branding, customer support. It's not that the growth CEO has to do those things necessarily, but needs to understand them enough to be able to delegate them, to be able to have conversations. And then the other is working with these new parties, these new business parties that are suddenly in our circle, like investors, like major corporate clients. So for a lot of our founding CEOs, they start as builders. Sometimes they start all by themselves in a room, just them and a laptop and working away. So they're just not in the habit of having the business conversation, the marketing and sales conversation. So a lot of it is getting out of that. And then one more, depending on who this person is, that we all need to be good at, but some of us need a little more work than others to get there, is good communication skills, just in the act of conversation, whether that be through delegation or whether that be, hey, I'm attending a conference and I need to talk to some new people. Let me get comfortable with that. Let me learn how to know what my objective is and speak my objective out to other people. So I think those are some of the key changes, key new skill sets of the growth CEO.
And what about the founding CEO? Can you talk more about the alternative roles that a founding CEO might have?
Yeah, so like I said in the talk, it's okay if it's for the founding CEO to not be, continue to be the CEO. If you are not interested in these other skill sets, and many people aren't, then it's okay to do something different. So we highlighted in this talk the chief operations officer. So that person sort of organizes the strategy of what the organization internally looks like. In my mind, a way to think about it is at a school, we have the principal or the headmaster, and we have the assistant or vice principal. The principal really looks out into the rest of the world. They talk to the board of directors. They talk to the parents. They talk to the community at large. The principal looks out, sets a vision, sets a strategy, says this is what the school will be like. But who executes on it? Well, that's usually the vice principal inside the building, right? And so that's sort of what the chief operations officer is. And that's a great role for a founding CEO who's concerned about the operations and strategy of the internal organization. The CTO is for that founder who's a builder at heart, who came to this from a passion and a love for technology, who also is able to be a manager of people. So a CTO in a lot of ways is like a director of technology. So they're managing the teams of technology. They're thinking about the stacks, but they're thinking about the way people are organized within the organization of technology. And then the one who's for the people who they don't want to deal with the people part at all. That's not what they got into this for. There are other roles. So there's chief architect, and a chief architect would design the way the database is going to be, the way the code is going to be, sets the standard for the organization of that. And then one more might be chief product officer. If you're a person who you just can't let go of those product decisions, I know what my baby needs to look like. if that's something for you as a founding CEO that's so important to defend, well, chief product officer might be a really fitting place. So there are these alternate roles. You don't have to keep the CEO title. And I do worry sometimes, though a big part of my job is to help CEOs keep their titles. Sometimes it's just a pride thing. We just like the title. It just feels good. But if is keeping that title worth the misery of knowing, look, I just don't want to be a person who does this defining and communicating thing. I want to be a doer in this. That feels good to me. Let's choose an alternate role.
Yeah, and it's so important to get to do the work that you actually want to do on your product or in your mm-hmm. organization. I love that. So how do you hire replacements if you're going to change roles or if you're trying to, you know, backfill yourself? How do you go about hiring replacements?
Yeah, great question. So a few ways to do that. The first is to define what the replacement need is. So if this is a technology organization, you probably need, if not a CTO, then a manager of technology, because the first thing you want to do is define what you need to extricate yourself from. What you need to extricate yourself from is the thing that you're most tempted to dive into, or that your team, you've probably the feeling that a founding CEO has isn't, I need to dive in. It's my team keeps asking me questions. My team keeps pulling me in. I have to do this or I'll disappoint my team or whatever it is. It's a lot of mindset stuff. It's not totally valid. So these things, though, that you keep finding yourself attracted to for whatever reason or pulled into, you would say, that's your first hire. Whatever that is your first hire. For a lot of founding CEO technologists, that is some kind of director of technology, manager of engineers, something like that. So the first is to identify the first role. We don't need to hire all these things at the same time. We can just pick one. The next is to consider a consultant like myself who can come in and look at that with you, start to define the processes. We want to get as much structure in place as we can before pulling a new person in and having them make it up themselves. So I can help out with that. And then there is something that I fill and some of my colleagues fill from time to time, and not everyone's aware of it. It's called fractional services. And so there's such a thing as a fractional CEO. So if you're in a place where the founding CEO isn't ready to be a growth CEO, your investors, your board, your VCs might hire a fractional CEO. There's fractional CTO. Fractional means part-time, basically, means consulting, means you don't have to pay someone the $200,000 or $300,000 that it costs to have that person full-time, but rather you have the best of their expertise that's the most relevant to you for the part of the time that you need it and for the duration, the length of time that you need it. So you might pull in someone like me or one of my colleagues as a fractional executive, a few hours a week for several months out of the year. So that's an option. Lindsay, thanks so much for being a part of this.
We've gotten some fantastic insights on strengthening your team, but what about other ways you can strengthen your team? I've assembled an 8-page guide on the 4 quadrants of strengthening your team with key insights from more than 11 veteran tech team leaders. To get yours, grab the link below this video. I'm so glad you joined us today. If this video was helpful, give it a like. Go ahead and subscribe and hit the bell so that Tech and Startup videos continue to show up in your feed. I'll see you in the other videos.